Coffee Club, Coffee Club. Grind your beans and grab your favorite mug. It's Ollie Morgan, George and Gus. It's them boys from Coffee Club. Boys from Coffee Club.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Coffee Club podcast for episode 158. The three of us are very lucky. We have an amazing guest today in Mr. Kai Robinson. Kai, how are you doing?
I'm doing so good. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on.
Stanford
Knows. Kai's been really hard to get on. We've been trying to get him on for about 6 months.
Tough man to book down.
Yeah, I've given availability many times. And
do you guys know
never got the call up.
Do you guys know the story of actually what happened between us and Kai?
No.
And I'm not blaming this on Tom, because we could have had Kai on at any point, but there was a message that went out from our Instagram account to Kai saying, hey, would love to have you on the podcast. Like, when are you free?
This is Stanford Kai.
Yeah.
Yes. This is Stanford Kai.
This was December.
December. Yep.
And Kai responded, gave some availability, and then we ghosted him.
really felt the love.
Oh, and then for some reason he's like, oh, these guys seem cool. Let's join their team.
I'm really desperate. I'm really desperate.
It was your best chance to get on the podcast was to join the team.
And look at us now. So all's well that ends well, right?
Exactly.
So we're here now, and we have
a lot of Australia in the basement.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
This is probably the ratio, though, 3-1.
I think we need more Australians.
Probably,
Am I permanently on the podcast now?
Yes.
Sweet.
Yeah. You're a host.
This is your audition.
You've ascended.
We've had Stewie over the phone.
That's Stewie.
In person, we had Jamie.
Jamie.
True.
Other Aussies. Craig. It's actually really dangerous whenever someone asks me like about specific guests or anything like that we've had on the podcast, because now I've just forgotten most of it.
Well, what episode is this, Morgan?
That trivia question? Did we even talk about that in the gala?
No, we didn't.
That was Tom Wang's trivia question. Yeah, that was a hard one.
Who was
our first guest? And did you guys get it?
I got that one.
Well, it's Waleed.
Yeah.
Waleed was our first guest.
But we were struggling.
It was between Waleed and Joe Hardy.
Joe Hardy, Waleed, and Nick Harris were the most...
Answer.
Because the funny thing is, people went on the YouTube to try and find it, but because we've had like 150 plus episodes, people couldn't find the first one.
I don't think Waleed would have been on there. He would have been on Morgan's YouTube.
The first, I think,
that's why they probably couldn't find it, because they were looking, they couldn't find, like, because we were probably a couple episodes in before we switched over, surely. Yeah.
That was tough.
But yeah, that's just to say, it's so hard to remember everything that we've done in these adventurous 3 years.
Yeah.
Oh, guys, we actually forgot to celebrate our birthday this year. Do you guys know that?
When was our birthday?
Well, it's partly because it's while our Instagram was down, but normally we do an Instagram
post
and we do an Instagram episode. It must be in September, I think. But it was about a month or two ago. We forgot to celebrate our third birthday.
That is like, kind of what we say the gala is too.
Yeah, the gala is kind of our... Have we had four galas though?
Yeah, but one was at zero.
One was at zero. Yeah.
Inverse leap year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we missed it this year. Maybe we'll get it next year.
We'll get it next year.
But alas, we do have a quick bean shout out before we get into the rest of the show today from Rocky Mountain Cross Country Camp. They sent us some beans. They're coming in from Guatemala. I don't even know this. Oh, it's from Massachusetts. Mike Shea's Coffee Roasting Co. Excited to give these a try. Thank you very much. Some beans did get sent to us during the summer, during our 3 months of being away, and I think this is one of them, because in their note they did include a shout-out to their summer camp. So, unfortunately, we cannot give them that shout-out, but maybe next year people want to join them for that. But thank you very much for the beans. We look forward to trying them. And final preview for New York. I mean, we're not really going to talk about New York too much today, because I think our marathon previews are normally a little bit lackluster. But in terms of what we're doing personally, as you may have seen on our socials, we are doing a live podcast in the On Labs in Soho. Currently, all seats are full for that. So, I mean, but we will be around there, like before and afterwards as well, if people want to meet up. But then also, there is an On Cheer section at the 11.5 mile mark in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, at, I believe it's Leon's Bagels. But just check the description for all the details on that. We are bring in some Artican bracelets to give away, which look really sick. You might have caught a little sneak peek of those as well. We have a limited number, so if you want them, you got to get in quick.
And pay us $1,000. No, I'm kidding. No.
We hope to see them on eBay after.
We hope that you get two and then you can sell one on eBay. And then maybe if you're feeling generous, just give it back.
Give us some money. That'd be really kind of you. And finally, if you do have a bib number, drop it in the form, which should be in the description for this, so we can track you as you go. But yeah, New York Marathon, I think we'll be there supporting our teammate Helen. I don't know anyone else that is racing.
I'm sure we have a few other on-athletes out there, but we'll probably get more.
Oh, actually, Jake Riley is racing. I think potentially his final race.
That was from his coach as well, so we don't know if it's actually from him, but he did. I think his coach did post saying this could be his last race, so yeah. Hopefully it's a good one.
But I mean, New York's always an epic race, so I think it should be good regardless, but I don't know exactly who's racing it, so. I think there are, actually, you know who else is racing it? Clayton Young. Because
Mance is running too.
Mance is?
Mm-hmm, also, definitely.
So from the US perspective, it is pretty stacked.
Is he running? Pretty sure Chiz is running for the man.
He just raced.
He was like 10th last year.
But did he not just race in Valencia as well?
Copenhagen.
With really? Jingi. He raced the half in there, I think.
He ran good, like 59 something.
Yeah. He ran under 60.
I feel like he ran
the
in Valencia as well.
Rematch again with Sharon, who was 4th at the Olympics.
Yeah. Sharon is going to be there.
So that'll be a good matchup.
Yeah. I mean, it's New York.
So. I hope it's slow again, like it has been. The women's races have been so entertaining. The last, like, New York and Boston, where it's just like a big crew for like 20-odd miles.
Yeah, I can't remember which mile mark we were at last year, but it was so crazy.
There was
crazy.
Still like 5 or 6 of them. There I was think it was at least like that. 24 or 25.
At least that. And then they were just, like, they looked like they were, I mean, they were. They were chilling so hard, like those lead pack.
They must know that they can't beat Helen like that anymore, though.
Yeah.
So someone's going to go earlier than 1 mile.
Yeah, but as Ritz says, she's fitter than ever.
Yep, it's true. So she's going to be very hard to beat no matter what.
She was telling me, I saw her in the gym like 2 days ago, and she said she's so excited for, I said, you excited for New York? She goes, I'm excited for the race to be over. Just going Boston, Olympics, New York, it like barely had a break apart from like being injured.
No and break,
so
really.
She's like, she says she's so ready for a break.
Probably take the family to Disneyland or something.
Yeah.
Take some time off finally.
Tanya's going to reap the rewards of Helen's success this past couple of marathons.
As she should.
She's going to be chilling after this one.
Yeah.
As she should. So before we get into a bit more of Kai interview, which we are going to do, there are a couple of news topics for us to look at this week. Like not that much, but probably the biggest thing in our little bubble was the half marathon world record getting broken in Valencia by Yomif Kejelcha running 57:30, which is just...
By 1 second.
1 second.
It's pretty crazy.
If you break down the splits, like the numbers on it, it's just unreal, the pace he's running. 27:12, 10K split. The pace on it...
Bonk.
It's like 4:30. Wait, what's the mile pace on that?
Oh, 420
Under 4:30.
65s.
It was like 420. I think it was like 4:23 pace or something.
That hurts thinking about.
It is outrageous.
So he's doing well. I mean, Valencia.
How much did he win by?
Quite a bit.
Minutes?
I think there were maybe a couple people in the 58s.
Really?
And I think, I'm trying to think how many people broke 60. I think it was around 10 maybe on the men's side breaking 60. Something like that. So I'm not sure exactly. Women's race also stacked. Our teammate Sigay came 5th, which was pretty solid for her, just a little bit off her PB. And she's had kind of a long season as well, so she'll take some downtime before she joins us for some training. On the Boulder side, we had Morgan Pearson. I see George is putting the notes. Should Morgan Pearson quit triathlon? And it's a good question.
That's not straight from me. I think that's like out in the ether.
That's just a question that exists.
Like, is Morgan Pearson better at running than he is at triathlon?
Well, let's say how good is he at triathlon? He wins. He won.
He's won two medals in the past two Olympics in the relay.
In the relays.
That's still good.
But the relays is hard to judge. Exactly.
Obviously, he's good at the triathlon. No one's.
He's been made the Olympics twice for the triathlon.
And it's hard to make. Like you have,
yeah,
I
it's
think
a hard team to make.
Only two people from the US on the men's side maybe have qualified. It's not easy to make.
So what's the rationale for him being a better runner?
Yeah, he's probably...
That race.
That's what I'm saying. That way.
So he ran 61:08, was it?
He did. And apparently that was like, he was trying to run 60 flat, or he thought he was in 60 flat shape, whatever that means. Whether or not that was actually an underperformance or not is obviously. Yeah, so we went impossible out. To know.
Solid.
What other triathletes have run that quick and a half? I honestly, Alex Yee and Hayden Wild, I could also see
that's maybe a good 60. Question because I don't know if he's probably not. Like, is he the best runner, like triathlete at running?
Alex Yee.
Those other guys are so
really good. Hayden Wild, really good.
Did you see the 10K by the British On guy?
Fastest 10K split ever?
Yeah.
In a
28.12.
Yeah.
What's his name? Anyone know? Kai?
No idea.
I think people listening probably
French,
know,
though, right?
Know who we're talking about. I thought he was British.
Wait. He's British? I thought he was French. No. Wait, maybe you're right.
I don't know.
I'm not going to put any stake in it. I just want to see him clean slate off this so you guys can make assumptions.
Nothing, yeah.
But how fast does Morgan need to run to not need to do triathlon? Like, I'm sure he wants to be a runner, right? Yeah. Why else would, like...
At this point, if you're as good as he is at triathlon, I think he has to be breaking 60.
I also think that he has to run other races. Like, it's hard to...
Half? Why?
Yeah, because...
You can make a living doing...
No, you can't. You can make a living doing that. However, I feel like for him, he'd probably... If you're going to be a professional runner, for example, Joe Klecker is running different events. You're running different events. I think he would
His different event is triathlon, though.
But that's a completely different... It's almost a completely different category, though, of an event because you're swimming and doing the
exactly.
bike.
Exactly. How good could he get if he stopped swimming and biking? Because obviously this race was one week after the World Triathlon Champs. So it's not like he...
How did he do it that? Do you know?
16th or
something. Okay.
The thing is, though, if you're pretty fit and you're running a lot, then I don't know how much that's going to change, particularly for that distance, like a half marathon or...
You don't think he would get any better if he only...
You know, I'm not saying this that. Is a I'm, good just, question. I'm just saying that in general, he's extremely fit and he does a lot of running. So
definitely,
you can't argue with the fact that that's going to help him in a half marathon.
Why can't
but you
I argue
also,
that?
But you also can't argue that he's going to be a better runner overall than triathlon. Like, I still think personally, like that distance is like very, very, I think, favorable to triathletes because they do a lot of training. Exactly. So if you put I'd him in a that. Position with the professional athlete, say he joins the OAC, you know, he joins the OAC, he starts training with Joe. Can his body handle the training? Can he run well on the track? Like, you just don't know that sort of stuff because I feel like he still does a lot of track training and still a lot of running. But the swimming and the bike also complement as well as everything else. Swimming's good for your body.
One could argue that they don't compliment though. If you do that much of it, you could argue that.
Well,
yeah,
if you're tired, but if you're
away from
but
your
weight, but if you're not doing a lot of weight bearing cardio, that's really helpful. Like, I imagine, like it's almost like doing like an extra layer of cross training when you're training for running.
Not if you've got like 15 pounds of swimming muscle on.
Well, Morgan Pearson's not that.
Hypothetically,
yes, hypothetically. But if you look at Alex Yee and certain other, they're not putting on that much weight. They're just keeping in this like a very happy medium. Because you can kind of, in swimming, you can kind of stay. Natural swimming bodies are like, they're barrel chested, they're quite big, they've got a lot of strength. But like if you look at triathletes, they're all like runners builds with a bit of a bigger back. Like Morgan's back is probably very impressive. Morgan, shout out. But Joe Klecker has an impressive back as well. You know, Joe Klecker could be a good triathlete.
So
like, thank you. But what all I'm saying is, George, like I think it would be interesting and it'd be cool to do it another life, but I also think that Morgan Pearson is a very, very good triathlete. And I think also if maybe I'm speaking for him right now, which is probably not a good idea, but I think he's got a lot of stuff he still wants to achieve in the triathlon. I think he can do a lot of cool things in the triathlon, but he's also competing against, I think Alex is one of the greatest triathletes ever. And Hayden Wild as well. Like, those guys are like...
I think they are.
Like, one of the best ever. The two of the best ever, and he's like competing against them a lot. And there's like other Europeans that are amazing. So I don't know, but
sounds like
it'd be cool to see him do more, maybe like a 10K in the track. That would be cool. Or do maybe another half somewhere else, or even a marathon.
I think the 10K on the track would be pretty hard for him.
I was about to say, I don't think that's going to go as well.
Yeah, I agree with you that the half marathon is your best chance to compete with full time runners. I'm more on the Ollie side of this debate where I don't think that his performance would change that drastically if he went full-time into running.
I think he's doing so much training, he's for the so half marathon. Fit and he's so talented that like triathlon is very, very hard, but it would be interesting to see what he could, if he did, like what he could do, because you just don't know. Like,
there's only one way we're gonna
get an answer to this.
Coffee Club sponsorship. Morgan Pierce is going to be Coffee Club sponsor for the track.
Decides to not do triathlon for a while. Yeah. He just runs.
But he's done that in the past, I think, as well. Didn't he do a half marathon last year that he just did running training for? I could be making that up.
Joe would know.
Yeah. Clicker was spreading the rumor this morning that...
Spreading the rumor?
that he is now going to do the Houston half.
Oh. So he probably would just train running for that, right? Because that's 3 months away?
Ooh, that is... All right. That's a great idea
for him. Kai Red Ribbon Robinson, what do you think about this? Because you've been looking around, nodding around. I want to hear your opinion.
We know you have an opinion.
I'm running the scenarios through my mind.
Crunching the numbers. I think,
as a Stanford boy would do.
I just see like the training, like it goes one step beyond cross training, like when you're in the pool or in open water and on the bike, that I feel like you do add a bit more muscle and like detract from being able to be the best runner possible. So if he gets a year and a half or something, like purely focusing on running, I think he'd be like pretty darn good.
Right, so it's me and Kai.
Yeah.
I'm on George's side.
Against Morgan. Little tag team battle. I like it. Well, hopefully we do get to find out soon if he does Houston and he just trains running for it. It'd be very interesting. But regardless, even without doing that, he's a very good runner and had a great race at Valencia. So well done to him. The other big news topic this week that we have is the announcement coming out of the SEC. It just means more. That they're cutting. Is this effective next year? I didn't actually see when it was coming into play. But they're cutting down their rosters. Was this men's and women's or just men's?
Just men's.
So just men's. XC cross-country roster is getting limited with 10 spots, and the track and field one is 35. So that's a big cut, I think. I don't know exactly what the limits are right now. At BYU, it's 100, I think. At other schools, they tend to have about 20 people on their cross-country roster. Like, that's a probably average.
Well, that's, yeah. So
maybe 20 is a little more.
I feel like when you look at the SEC schools, they have so many, like, walk-ons that can just get to the next level because they get all the supplies that everyone does.
Yeah, it's essentially eliminating walk-ons because the amount of scholarships that they have for cross-country is getting awfully close to the amount of roster spots that they have.
Well, that is what it is now because like a month ago they announced they took away the scholarship limit. Like there are no, you can give every single person a scholarship.
I forgot about that.
They put a roster limit. So now it is just limited by the roster number, not the scholarship number.
It says the final approving of the hearing between House vs. NCAA settlement is scheduled for April 7th, 2025. So I think this won't be effective until next year in April.
Yeah, that's kind of soon though. So this that like is very soon. Cross country season. 10 people. I couldn't imagine being on a like
the average.
Thinking back to my cross country team, and that only being 10 people. That's how many we would just travel with.
Yeah, Kai, imagine
like
if
the same number back home.
Imagine if you had a forest and it only had 10 trees in it.
That's a pretty small forest.
I mean, like currently the average SEC men's XC roster is 17. So that an average of 7 people would have to be cut. That's probably skewed as well because I
bet some SEC schools don't really field much and then some have a lot. I mean, if you look at the SEC right now, the best team on the men's side, we just talk about men's, is Arkansas. They're a legit contender. I don't know who else is good from SEC. Ole Miss sometimes.
Yeah, there's a lot of like individuals, but I feel like the only like real big team right now at least is Arkansas.
Alabama.
Texas is now in the
Alabama.
SEC.
Texas is good. Texas is good.
I don't make know if they're
good
right now,
but yeah, they normally make nationals.
Yeah.
Weak region.
Yeah, guys, some asterisks on that. Yeah, South region. But it is. I mean, as people that went through the system, it's just sad because, I think for us, a lot of our greatest moments come from spending time training with our teammates, and that is, for us, probably about 20 people, and cutting that down to 10, especially when they're all on scholarships, so it's just going to be like really high level people. I imagine it definitely changes the dynamic, and it's a concerning trend.
I almost wonder, like, do they even just not take recruits anymore and just start getting transfers in that are already at a great level?
You can't really take much of a risk with like developing people the same if you only have 10 spots. I don't know, maybe they'll have a practice squad.
Like, it's making it so exclusive, like less people are just going to be running cross country in the NCAA, which is like,
as soon as it's going to be just one bloke,
just one representative
that literally just like all the all these sprinters are there, and then you have that one distance bloke. It's like, all right, you're going to run every single distance event because we're paying you a full scholarship.
Yeah,
and one bloke.
The other thing is like injuries, like they're somewhat inevitable in running, and if four people are out, you can't field a full team.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That is actually insane.
And on an average team, there's four people injured. Exactly. More than four.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's a percentage thing, but it is crazy thing. What do we think about 35 on a track team? Because that's, if you're, I mean, yeah, we're all distance runners, so we think more through the lens of cross, but 35 for a track team is actually really small as well. If you're thinking like freshmen through seniors and fifth year seniors, 35 people total, you think, in all the different events. It's like schools are going to just have to focus on certain event groups. So you're not going to be able to, I mean, how many events are there? Isn't there like 18 events? I just made that number
yeah,
up.
Yeah, that sounds right. So you'd be like, I feel like we had like 70 or something. So
I think that's normal for a track
could
roster.
Could you actually have 20 distance runners though, but only 10 of them
run cross? I don't see why not.
So maybe there's
rotate them in and out.
Maybe there's a loophole there.
You'd have the overlap. So to think about it, you'd only need 25 other athletes.
You've only got 15 of it.
Yeah. If you're a distance only school.
So you have 10. You have 10 that are already on the cross country roster. They would be doing track. So then you tick 25.
There's no mid distance guys getting on that cross roster anymore.
That's an interesting thing too. Like 800. 800, for example, is probably an event that would hurt from that, because an 800 meter runner is probably not going to do cross. I mean, unless he's fucking, you know, Josh Kerr style runner where he just turns up to nationals and, you know, off just.
Didn't Josh come like 200?
Yeah.
No, he did make it as an individual.
He made it
though.
As an individual, yeah, but like I'm saying, it's like there's like probably like 800 meter runners that just do it for base training, like that kind of style of an athlete.
Team.
But that'd be crazy.
Obviously, it's because of Title IX, and I'm not going to even pretend I know what Title IX does, and like I'm not going to argue it. But like that cannot be what Title IX was originally.
I actually don't know if it's related to Title IX. I think it's related to. It is.
Yeah. It is.
That's why. That's
because they've basically bumped up the roster spots on football.
So they have
which
to
means
take
they have to take
sports.
Away from men so that the men and women have the same.
I guess I was kind of agreeing. Like I was thinking that it's probably due to how much money is going to football now. It's probably due to how much NIL money.
Yeah.
It's just getting funded into football teams.
The football roster is just worth so much money that they just pump that up. And then they take
but
away
then,
from
yeah, because of Title IX, other men's sports have to suffer.
If you think about it, like Wisconsin, I think, has like 100
full scholarships for the football team.
Well, they used to have 80, but now it's full, right? So like everybody on the football team would have a scholarship, so that's 100.
Yeah.
So it's 100 scholarships.
Now
it's
105.
105. Yeah. Okay, so it's 105 scholarships, and then there's no equivalent women's, like there's basketball. Soccer,
but
potentially.
Only has like 5 people.
That's what I'm, like, what I'm saying. It's very, very tough because.
It cannot be the intention of Title IX, though, to limit men's cross-country spots. Like,
I also think that people.
I
also think that people that support Title IX and like Title IX's a good program for women's sports also probably look at that and think, well, this is not probably great. Because if that happens to the men's side, that's really going to like affect probably the women's side as well. Because, like, you know, I feel like. You have camaraderie with the women, men's and women's team, and if there's like, wait, like you know, there's no men's team anymore, it'd be kind of weird. I don't know. I think it's a complicated issue because football deserves that money because they make the most. You know, that's the complicated issue.
I think that's what it is. I think ultimately it comes down to the gradual freeing of the whole economic system of college sports, and it means that because when I was in college, if someone asked me like say from Australia that didn't really know how it works, they're like, so you guys have like $1 million budget, like how do you guys make that money? I'm like, oh, we make that because of football. You know, like, so at that time I was always looking, I was like, wow, we're so lucky to get supported by this school because we know we're not bringing in the money. We know the football players are getting screwed, and as those rules become, and I guess in some ways it's more fair, the unfortunate reality of that for us is that the sports that don't bring in money are going to get diminished. And unfortunately, cross country is one of those sports.
You know what? If Grand Slam wanted to slam into track and field, they might have should have gone start in the collegiate level because it seems that the collegiate level is getting screwed now for the track and field cross country community. And Michael Jordan, seen as a savior of track and field in this country. Michael Johnson.
Close enough. Yeah, let's bring in Michael.
Let's bring Michael Jordan. He has money too, right?
Yeah.
He did college sports for a while, I think. Played for like some school.
Yeah.
Bring him in. But Michael Johnson. Mm-hmm. I yeah, that that That's I think that's a tough thing because particularly for the three of us, well, four of us. Sorry, Kai. Particularly for the four of us.
Left out again.
sitting right here.
You're sitting right here. But particularly for the four of us who are foreigners who definitely could not afford to go to these schools and do these things, and we were on scholarship, we would feel very, very privileged to be able to do that sort of thing, and we do owe it to the programs as well as, you know, the way it was, the system was set up to have the opportunities we had to get to where we are now. And those opportunities are now getting a lot limited. So,
moral of the story, go to the Big Sky.
What do you guys, what do you guys think the solution is, though? Just go to another school that's not in the SEC?
I think it's inevitable.
Bring back the Pac-12.
It's inevitable.
I think it's, especially in the SEC, maybe there will be a change where, like, the reality is cross-country runners don't go to SEC schools anymore.
Yeah.
Like, maybe, it is a very potentially realistic reality that in 5 years, there's no cross country in the SEC, and people in the SEC are probably okay with that as a majority fan base. You know, probably most of them will be okay with that, and probably the schools will be okay with that from a money standpoint. But then maybe that will mean an opening of opportunities for other schools.
You don't think it would trickle into other schools like Big Ten?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I think cross country will just take place, maybe not in the SEC.
But what I'm saying is, don't you think that then the Big Ten will get affected by this, thinking seeing SEC put all this financial, incentive into the football, is that they do it for the Big Ten? Because Big Ten...
No, I think it will ripple effect through the power.
Power five.
Is it a power five still? No, it's power three now.
Power four now.
Power four. I think it will. I think everyone wants to be like the SEC.
So, like, in the next 10 years, you think no cross country anymore in college?
Well, I don't think the Big Sky is going anywhere in that direction, so that'll be safe for now. I think
it'll just be a Big Sky conference. That's the national Big Sky conference.
So, I think it sounds like
a master plan from Mike Smith and Cornfield, just to set the ripple effect so that only cross country exists.
Yeah,
and then NAU is the
they weren't dominant sport. Enough as is.
Yeah, they just want to dominate everything while they have no more competition.
Yeah, it is. I didn't even think the conference this year, which I guess is also this week, right? Conference NCAA. Cross is gonna be crazy because I don't even know what the conferences look like anymore. I'm gonna sign up to watch the Big Ten conference race, and I'm gonna see UCLA out there. What the fuck? Wait, is Oregon in the Big Ten? What's Oregon in?
I think Oregon is Oregon in the Big Ten as well.
That's bananas to me. I cannot. Can you imagine going back to our conference race and Oregon is there?
No, I can't imagine that. I can't imagine the UCLA being there either. I can only imagine big Western schools. That's all I can imagine.
For track conference, they're gonna be racing at Hayward Field.
Oh, God. Bloody Hayward. Hayward's
crazy. Yeah.
That's kind of sick, actually.
That is sick. Having a conference meet would be fun there.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Did you race there last year? We had my sophomore year. We had conference there.
Was it sick?
It was pretty sick.
What about Stanford? We don't like having conference at Stanford?
We never host those.
Why is that? Why not?
It's too expensive for teams.
Really?
He's flexing.
That's their own problem. Just a star in a Lex and Leo video, and then they'll be able to get the funds.
The Forest should be funding everything.
They should be.
Does Stanford have to go to Florida for conference or something crazy?
Yeah, something on the East Coast.
Is it actually?
Yeah, like,
jeez.
I mean, it's only 3 meets a year for us, but like for the other sports that have to travel like every week, that'd be terrible.
So who joined the ACC?
We did.
Stanford.
Cal. And I think that's the only like West Coast ones.
Yeah. It's just
might be leaving one out.
BYU is in the
CU and BYU are now Big 12.
That's cool.
That'll be a big conference meet this week. Cool. That's like Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
Iowa State.
That'd be so stacked. It will be sick, but it just doesn't make sense anymore. Nothing makes sense. So I'm excited to watch it though. Yeah, early NCAA picks. I would say we don't really like our season is so misaligned with NCAA season, so we don't really pay that much attention. Like we're still on vacation like half the time that they're racing. But I did actually watch the which one did we watch? Was it pre-nats?
We watched pre-nats, yeah.
Dude, those kids are fast.
Yeah,
those kids are very fast.
They're rolling.
Yeah.
At least Kai was like, is going to be a lot more informed than we are.
Yeah, I'll give
he's
some
still,
like sleep picks.
He still knows people.
His besties are out there.
I don't know anyone in there anymore.
Well, Hubtum Samuel's out there.
I think Hubtum's the favorite this year just because Graham's obviously had a huge summer and he's getting into fitness, but the question is, will it be fast enough, I think. So,
do you guys reckon you could survive in the cross-country season in college?
No.
What do you reckon?
We'll already did.
No. You're an NCAA champ. I'm just, it just seems like every year I'm like, shit, I don't even know how
we're
doing this.
When I look at it now and I look back to how we were, I'm just like, wow, we were so unprofessional.
Dude, we were so unprofessional, bro.
It seems so professional now. That's what I don't like about it. I mean, it's cool in some ways.
It doesn't feel amateur anymore. It feels like it's like baseball, like minor leagues, major league, yeah, that kind of thing. That's what it feels like. It feels like you're one step from the next level, one step from the next. And that's maybe a good thing for the athletes, but it also looks at it and just like, damn, I was just not like that at all. I was
just a bunch of literal sub 27 10K guys out there.
I was literally probably a 29-minute 10K guy.
Makes the transition to going pro probably a lot smoother.
Yeah, definitely.
You're already a very competitive bro if you're at the top of that food chain.
Definitely.
So, apart from Kai.
Yeah.
No, just kidding.
Back to being a freshman.
Yeah. Well, talking about Kai, I don't even know where to begin with. I mean, I assume everyone listening knows Kai Robinson. He has. He's originally from Brizzy, which you hate it being called.
It's Briz Vegas, if we're giving a nickname, but really, really it's just Brisbane.
It's so impressive that you've been able to make it all this way with your obvious physical disadvantages and living in Brisbane.
I've beat all the odds.
You did a great job. Because me and Morgan, we come from an area it's a bit more, I would say, nice. Better. But, you
seem
know...
to struggle with that word.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you're just trying to be nice to me.
I'm trying to be...
Soften the blow.
Yeah, for you know, because Brisbane, you know, yeah, it's having the Olympics soon, so I don't want to... You know, go there when I'm a melted candle and get yelled at by Brisbonians or whatever you want to call them.
Brisbonians, I like that.
We're sticking with that.
Brisbonians, but yeah, so.
And you went from Brisbane all the way to Stanford, a complete 180, some would say.
Yeah.
I had an illustrious complete career out of nowhere. At Stanford. I walked into Kai's wardrobe 2 days ago and...
Which is an entire room.
Yeah, it's really, like the amount of All-American trophies he has is... ridiculous. I mean, you guys, I know, all have all like a lot of them, but he has them all lined up. How is it 14?
It's 14, like including like a team third place.
It's so, like that's a and they're big trophies, the All-American ones. It's very impressive.
Why didn't you sell them? That's what I did.
Still can.
How do you think I got Gus? Sold all my NCAA stuff.
I'm gonna let them get like better over time.
Yeah. Good. Yeah.
But until people forget about me.
Fair.
We'll never forget about you.
Yeah. Thank you guys.
But big career, Sanford, now you're OAC. I think we'll start back at, just to get this, I mean, a lot of people, I mean, I like hearing about this, early days running. Were you just good and, I mean, I know a bit about this already. You hated it?
I hated running. It was probably like grade 10 that we got like a new coach in my high school and he basically just kept coming up to me and being
Jack
like,
Curran.
Jack Curran and Louis McAfee. And they were just like, you got to keep coming to practice. And I was like, no chance. I was playing just about any other sport I could to get out of practice and lying about having practice during the same time as cross country and
smart.
Eventually they like found my parents and started talking to them, which
your parents are just wandering around Brisbane and they're searching for him.
Exactly.
Like, we found Kai's parents. All right.
Small town.
He has to run.
And my dad and mum were like, yeah, we'll drop him off in the morning. Basically, every morning they wake me up at some ungodly hour, drag me out of bed, and running.
Sounds pretty Aussie.
Yeah. And next thing you know, I start doing well, and I'm like, oh, I can actually win some races here. And then you get that first taste of winning, and it's addicting, man. Like,
yeah. That's why we're all here. Yeah. Literally, I think a lot of the athletes with running were probably like, why do you like running? It's like, well, I like winning.
Exactly. So. There's that runner's high.
Yeah.
After crossing the line.
Yeah. And we're all in withdrawal right now.
What sports did you have to give up?
I didn't actually give any up. Like I just balanced them. Like I was a big football soccer guy, and then
rugby league.
No,
AFL.
No. I was too small, too skinny. No football, AFL.
You mean football soccer?
Yeah. Dad's obviously a tennis coach, so gave up tennis pretty early for soccer, and then. I was into volleyball a fair bit and a bit of cricket here.
Wait,
and there.
I didn't know the volleyball part.
Yeah, my sister played volleyball. Yeah, so
see,
I was like,
volleyballer.
Put me in.
Were you?
Maybe I'm
need
good.
I need to see you play volleyball.
Yeah,
let's go. I've smoked you on the Switch.
You were trying to suggest volleyball the other day.
Yeah, exactly.
You were better a bowler.
I have volleyball. I have a volleyball.
For cricket.
I was a batter, but I think I was better at bowling.
What would you bowl? Were you spin bowler?
Just medium pace.
Medium pace?
Yeah.
Glenn McGrath style.
Exactly. Just right on bed.
Exactly.
love it.
Wait, you calling him bad?
Yes, I was.
Yeah, but you come from a country where we whoop his country's ass in cricket. So let's just remember where respect is due.
I bowled right on terrible. So.
I was also a bad bowler.
I didn't touch the ball. I mostly batted. So
nice. Yeah. I mean, clearly we're all really good at cricket. That's why we ended up here, right?
Yeah.
This is a pipeline. That's what I was getting at.
Because if he was better, it's obvious. You're very humble about how good you were at running in high school. Like every time I ask you how good you were in Australia, you say that you were really bad, but then you went to Stanford. So I know you're lying.
It's weird because if you look at my times now, they're not getting anywhere near Stanford. Like I think I had a 3:52. 1500, which is pretty good, like 4:09.
Is this at like 16, mile. 17 years
is
old?
Is it like 17, 18?
Okay.
And then 14:30 something in the 5K. And I think my best mark was probably like a 9:04 steeple, like open 3K steeple. So
that's pretty good.
That was, I think I was good as a junior, really recruited as a steeple guy and a little bit of versatility to do some of that flat stuff, but.
That's pretty good.
You apparently thought I could go over Barry as well.
Yeah, you're only a few seconds behind George's first steeple.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah, fair enough.
I have Mount Ballsack, where Geordie was pretty much running with one leg.
Shout out
Mount Ballsack.
And so then you chose Stanford. Well, did you always want to go to specifically Stanford, or did you go through a more intensive like recruiting process looking at other schools?
Well, it was always like I was pretty much told Stanford from my high school coaches. They're like,
you should, you're
a good runner. You're pretty smart. Like you should go there. Like that should be your first choice. And I had like a couple of other schools recruiting me, but it was during COVID. So I wasn't able to take any visits. And so I basically just had to trust my coaches said, cause they went to Boise. So they raced at Stanford a couple of times and they're like, it's a great area. They really like the coach cause he was at Iona recruiting Louis when Louis was leaving Boise. And so he's like, he's a great guy, trust in him, and got a few calls with Rick. And as soon as he offered me that little bit of scholarship, I was like, let me call my parents. Parents said, yeah, we can make that happen. And next thing I know, I was committed.
I was recruited by Rick as well.
Oh, there you go.
He didn't get me. I went to Wisconsin. Actually, the guy that he coached recruited me instead. So,
coached him.
The guy, Mick Byrne, Coach Rick.
The pipeline.
The pipeline is there. It exists in the coaching college world. But
Mick to OAC.
What were the other schools you were looking at?
It's a pretty diverse range. Like there was
Wisconsin,
because of you guys, I feel like. Yeah. Like I saw the Australians doing well over there and I was like, okay, maybe there's something in the water. Until I got ghosted by Gavin, that was tough.
Classic.
Gavin ghosted Geordie as well, I think.
That's classic. That's nice. A classic Gavin move.
And then he looks back on it and then just starts kicking the door going, shit.
Yeah, and then the other ones I was probably looking at was Florida State in Florida. Like, I kind of liked the look of that. Seemed like I could have enjoyed some partying, a little bit less academics. And
the brizzy of...
no running.
The brizzy of the US, similar for sure. Yeah.
Definitely the brizzy of
I've
the
never
US.
Even, I haven't been to either and I still know that.
Geordie knows.
It's a vibe. That makes sense. I mean, yeah, if you can go to Stanford, I think...
Well, you visited Stanford, right?
I did visit Stanford. I had like a kind of an unofficial visit because I hadn't applied to the school yet. I met with the coach, but then... On that same visit, at the same time, I visited Wisconsin and I just committed to Wisconsin. But I mean, obviously, Stanford is Stanford. I think.
It is Stanford, yeah.
It's Stanford.
Yeah. It is.
It's Stanford, guys.
Say it one more time.
It's
Stanford.
It's Stanford.
Stanford. Like, come on. If you're going
to. Got to have a pretty good reason not to go.
Yeah. Like, who cares about running at some point? Like, you're pretty set for life if you go to Stanford, I've heard. Yeah.
Except you join this team.
What a shame.
Yeah.
What a step down. He's making the least money out of his graduating class. That
he was
sick
for life. And then he did this instead.
He thought, I'm going to go backwards and do some community service. Start up with OAC.
I'll start a side hustle on the way.
On the way there, I'm just going to start this little project.
Yeah. I love it.
Professional running.
Love it. But however good you were running in high school, once you got to Stanford, your improvement must have been like crazy because already were you a true freshman?
Yeah.
When you were already getting your first All-American honors?
Yeah, I mean, I remember getting there. We got there during the cross that was during the indoor season. Mm-hmm. And got there and I was the worst on my team. And my whole goal was to like not be the worst on my team by the end of the season. And every race, like I just improved. And then our conference meet, Pac-12s, like I don't know what happened, but I saw some like crazy, like 2 minute PR basically in the 8K. And I was like, oh my gosh, like I'm scoring for my team.
Yeah.
And then come nationals, I was the third guy on our team. Got 46, which I was pretty impressed with. Cause
true freshman, that's
what race was it?
OSU. So I was like, and I was moving up over that last K. Like if there was more time, I think I could have got even higher. Cause I think looking back, I was like in the top 10, like final Ks against like, obviously I was a solid minute behind like Mance and that, but
yeah,
I was pretty impressed by that. And then that gave me confidence to go into the Steepland outdoors and basically try and mix it with the big dogs.
And you came sixth?
I did, yeah. And it was an interesting season.
Yeah.
I just learned that was the under 20 Oceania record. Is it still?
I think so, yeah.
What time did you run?
8:32.0.
That's so quick.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
And that was after having a little incident.
Yeah.
A famous incident.
Unfortunately, at conference, what, like 3 weeks before that, I'd got stepped on the steeple on the second lap and didn't know that it tore up my face, but found out after the race.
Yeah, some gnarly pictures out there.
Yeah, exactly. There's a nice little video of me rolling on the ground and then getting gutter stomped. And yeah.
But you still beat that guy, right?
I did, yeah. Right. Didn't win the race, but I beat him.
Nice. So, I mean, with that massive jump, can you look back and see clear reasons? Like, did your training just kind of also go next level, or was it a bit unexpected?
I think it was just like consistency. I think that was probably a lot of the issue back in Australia, was the fact that I was playing so many sports. So I was like taking time off from running. Like some weeks I'd be at like 30 Ks a week in high school, and then others I'd be up at like 60, because it just fluctuated whether I had like a football game that weekend or something else going on. And so being able to come over to the US and basically get that consistent training and, you know, have guys around you that are much better than you pushing you, I feel like that definitely helps. And so I think that's what elevated me to the next level.
Yeah. And then those next 2 years, I don't want to skip over anything really, because you have some crazy accolades. In the next 2 years, you represent Australia at both the World Champs and the Comm Games. And then just 2 years later, you were doing the double in the 5K, 10K. I mean, I don't think you've ever been injured, right?
I haven't, no.
So
touch wood.
So do you just put that down to just being part of a good program, good coaching, just consistency?
Yeah, I think I'm a little biased because I can just say like it worked for me, because there's obviously some people who go in and they're the best, and unfortunately sometimes the coaching just doesn't work for them, and I guess that's just running. But
in other words, I'm built different.
But I remember like after that season I got stepped on in the steeple, I
love that. I never thought we'd
haven't run a steeple since, right?
No, I've ran two since, but that season.
You actually ran the next season?
Yeah. Oh, there was like conference and then a dual meet. I was like, I'm not running anything else. And I said, I remember I was walking to like the bus before we had some cross country meet, and I was with Josh Schumacher, and I was saying like, I don't want to run steeple again. And he's like, you just have to get good enough to never have to touch and just do the flat stuff. And that stuck with me. And ever since I'm like, I don't want to go back, but who knows? Maybe there's a resurgence this year.
Let's see what happens. But you put down crazy times. I mean, you were only, so Kai's only 22 now. He's so young. And at 20 years old, you ran like 27:44 for the 10K. You must have run a quick 5K to qualify. I mean, your 5K time now is 13:06 indoors, Australian indoor record.
Mm.
Let's go.
You got it up on
Nipped
us.
It off me.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you got it though.
Yeah. I wish I got it a year later so I could have got a little bonus.
I know. Well, that's your own fault.
What a shame.
That's your own fault.
Yeah. You also have a nice 7:36 in the 3K, which is that second fastest all time in NCAA?
Yeah, it is, but some people don't count it because it's on the UW track, so
yeah,
take it as you will.
We'll count it on this podcast.
I can't.
It's Coffee Club official.
Sweet.
Can I count it?
No, we're not counting it.
2v3 though, outweigh. Come on, Morgan, give it to him.
No, I don't count.
All right. I told him two days ago.
It I tried. Count.
I tried.
On the run.
I tried.
But yeah, you obviously have these crazy, crazy times. But getting dubs in the NCAA is a whole different story, as we've talked about. And particularly the double that you did at Austin was crazy, because we know how hard it is to run in Austin if you're a distance runner. It's hot and humid. It's really good for sprinters. But what was it like doing that double? Were you just like next level? Did you feel good doing it the whole time, or was it?
Well, grind?
Is that your Brizzy upbringing?
I think it is. Like Charles and I, you look were like definitely
you
going
you
into
look
that.
Like you didn't feel it.
We've had that poor man's altitude for our whole lives, basically. And so we did have a little bit of an advantage, but I remember we were going into the 10K and I never even thought I could win it. Like, I thought Charles had the best chance. Dylan and Casey Klinger were like two people we were looking out for. And then I can't remember who it was, but someone said before the race, like, this guy's going to take it out and make it honest. And so we had our little like meeting the night before, and I said that to Rick and Charles, and I'm like, I've heard this, like, seems pretty legit, and I feel like we could just adjust our tactics early, get a little advantage. And next thing I remembered, like, it was basically 500 meters to go, and it was Charles and I, and we're like,
the boys,
if I don't move now, like, there's probably never going to be a chance like this in the NCAA, because you never know when those wins come along. Mm-hmm. And so made that move and managed to get it done. And then after that, it was like a whole weight was lifted off my shoulders. Like, the next day was just, I was just having fun. And
yeah, NCAA champ. Feels
it's like,
good.
I completely almost forgot about that. I had another 5K 2 days later. And then we just went into it. Like, we don't know what's going to happen. It can be fast. It can be slow. There's great like kickers in the race, and end up being like, let's make it slow. So I went to the front and tried to slam the brakes as many times as I could and have fun. And then
smart.
I don't know what happened to everyone. Obviously, Nico made a huge move with a mile to go. And I was like, wow, there's no chance I can stick with this right now. And kudos to him. But I think the heat got to him a little bit quicker than he was expecting. And he ended up coming back. And a lot of people went with him and did extra work trying to do that. And thankfully, I was cooked before that I was able to conserve energy, I guess. And with 500 to go, it was basically the same thing. I was like getting deja vu. And yeah.
They do look like the exact same race if you watch the last lap of each one.
You look very in control in both of them as well. And even like you look at the names from, I mean, both those fields, but in particular even like the 5K. Was Graham Blank second?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, and then I think Jackson actually did really well
in
the race.
Jackson was third, I think.
You just look at the names and it's crazy. But if you watch the race, you just look
very much in control. Did you hit 6th Street after that?
I think we did. I don't know if it was 6th Street or 36? The different street with the bars,
36 but is the big Austin college.
We had a little bit of fun that night.
Oh, good. You deserved it. Nice. You deserved it. That's a pretty impressive feat to pull off the 10-5 double.
Yeah. You mentioned Charles Hicks. And I think, if you were watching the NCAA at that time, Hicks was a really big name because of his dominance in cross country. And was he a couple of years? He must have been a couple of years ahead.
He was a year older.
1 year older. So he must have been pretty good. Someone to kind of pave the way a little bit for you.
Yeah. Like him and Cole, I feel like the three of us, like, it was something where we just pushed each other to the limits and it just seemed to work. Like, it wasn't like we were getting better individually. We were like pushing all of us up, and unfortunately Cole was the one who suffered a setback with his injury, and it's taken him a while, but he looks really good this year. Like, I think he's gonna be back at the top come this cross season and outdoors and indoors. Like, I think he's back to his full strength, which is gonna be fun to watch.
Seems like a pretty cool squad to be a part of, you three boys. Does Cole own all those grocery stores?
Yeah, Sprouts.
Yeah, that's what I thought so.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if you were talking about Coles or Sprouts.
He owns both. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, like, he's at Stanford, you know?
His parents own Sprouts, but he got given Coles as a little 1-year-old birthday present,
as a down payment.
That's so
But, I mean, having those boys around, particularly when you were going through college, like, do you think having that environment was very beneficial in the sense of, like, learning what you wanted to be as a professional athlete?
Yeah, I think so. I feel like All of us were striving for greatness.
When did Hicks go pro?
He went pro a year before me.
Yeah, so you would have seen his process and stuff like that. So did that help you a lot with, I guess, just deciding what you wanted to do?
I think so. Like, I mean, the start of my junior year, Charles and I were always having those conversations, like where we want to go. And there was a lot of arguments because he loved Bauman and I loved OAC.
I was going to say, you signed your NIL deal at the same time that he went pro.
Yeah. So
What was his argument for Bauman? Did he ever convince you in some ways of like, oh, Bauman's good? Because like the history of Bauman, like I remember.
Hey, Kai used to be a Bauman boy.
I know.
He did. He worked the Bauman
camp.
You
guys converted me.
He worked the Bauman camp.
Twice.
But you, I mean, like, I feel like us going through college too, we looked at Bauman as the it team.
I fucking
right?
love Bauman.
Yeah. They were the it team. I fucking love Bauman. But like for Charles and for you having those discussions, that would have been an interesting conversation because you two obviously come from the similar program, but you're looking at two different sides. Because OAC and Bauman are probably quite different, I would say.
Yeah. I think for Charles, he's very strong. Like he is, the longer the race, the better he is. So. Yeah. I think that helped him a lot. And then I feel like I was more of that, like, sure, I have this base, but I've got a bit of a kick. So it kind of made sense coming here a bit more. And obviously there was the back and forth, but I don't think I was ever convincing him. Mm. And he had his chance to convince me. He had me at times, but unfortunately we couldn't stick together. And now we're rivals.
The on NIL.
Now we hate each other.
Yeah.
The on NIL probably had something to do with that though.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
What's it like getting... Wait, you were the first NCAA track athlete?
On NIL? Is it
on
true?
NIL?
I was the first international athlete.
Oh, okay.
So we already had... I know Juliet had already signed with on before me and a couple of others had NILs, but...
What's it like getting paid in college?
It's pretty nice. Like, it just takes a lot of like stress off, I feel like, as soon as you get out of college because you have something in your bank account.
Mm.
So you don't have to worry about saving that first paycheck to pay off.
Is that why you're driving around in McLaren?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Must be nice.
Car turns up in a McLaren, fluoro yellow.
Yeah, that's why I still walk to practice.
I love it. And so you joined us, obviously coming right out of college, which was, I guess, probably May or June.
Yeah, June.
Late June last year. And so you've actually been with the team, it feels like, for like quite a while. It's not like you just started. So far, what is kind of like the differences in the training philosophy and just general vibe from being a college student? And which do you prefer?
It's tough because obviously there's like that FOMO that I see now when I look back at the college team, and obviously they're doing really well. And I'm like,
wow. I heard they're actually doing way better.
Yeah, I think I was the culture problem apparently.
I was the problem.
No, but it's like, you obviously miss your friends that you've made along the way, and sure, those friendships are going to stay for a while, but same time, it's a new chapter, time to make new friends, hopefully, if you guys
like
me.
You've been struggling
enough
with that. Yeah, I noticed the team, you've really struggled to make new friends.
It's weird. No one wants to run with me at times. Like, I kind of walk into the room and everyone leaves. It's difficult.
I hate that.
But from a training philosophy, I feel like there's a lot of similarities. There's a lot of like intensity that we do, but before it was a lot of little rest and high volume. And here I feel like there's a lot more like speed, high rest, like getting that body used to going a lot faster, which I feel like is...
I guess when you join, that's peak track season. So
yeah,
that's
true.
That's when we're doing the most of that also.
So that's obviously different. Training at altitude, hopefully it'll take me to the next level. I'm kind of looking forward to that. And
yeah. Our gym, how's our gym compared to Stanford's?
It's tough because we'd share it with football. So we'd have the nice stuff, like, yeah, but
it's a bit of a come down.
Yeah, it does the job. Like both of them, I'm not using those heavy squat racks that the footballers are using anyway. So
fair.
I'm using those little baby weights, a lot of body weight.
Yeah, you don't know what's coming this winter. Yeah.
My biceps are going to be huge.
I can say as your training partner that Kai has adapted very well to the training. Literally,
oh, thank you.
Day one, Kai was just in there crushing, one-stepping even, some would say, runs,
reps. I have heard that before.
he does this.
I don't know what you're talking
about.
Maybe that's why Stanford's doing better.
They're not getting one step.
They're not getting one step by
the confidence
Kai
is way higher because they're not getting crushed in the workouts. In particular, because of his one trait that he has, which we may or may not have talked about on the podcast before, but on workouts, Kai famously does this thing where when you finish a rep and you're really tired and you walk because you're really tired and because the recovery is to walk oftentimes if you're doing a really hard rep, Kai will continue his jog. He'll do like a whole lap of the track, come back to you and just, He'll try. I don't know if he's doing this on purpose or this is just you, but I feel like you try to look as good. You try not show any weakness.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never been told that I don't show weakness, but there's definitely some of those workouts. I mean, we had in Zurich, for example, or Kiavenna.
That's the main one that I'm thinking of. Oh, also Kiavenna.
Yeah, and it's something that like we always did. We always just did this like light little jog between reps. And I feel like the lactic doesn't build up as quickly. So it's like a little cheat, get a little bit more mileage here and there, which helps at the end of the week. But I just feel better when I do it. Like until I stop, then I'm really hurting and I've only got a few more reps in me. So there's a little secret that if I'm not jogging, it's tough. But
well, it's really demoralizing being on the other side of it when you physically can't jog and then Kaiser's jogging around looking fine.
I'll convert you guys. Don't worry.
We'll see about that.
It always feels better.
We'll see.
I'm with the mid-D boys, so we're walking a lot. So I don't know. Usually we're walking and then you know when Yara, it's a good workout when Yara just goes, whoo. Yeah. He does that little thing and he's walking around. It's also, there's like no sweat on him. It's like a little bead.
Everyone has their tell that it's getting hard. Now it's good that...
What's your tell, George?
Well, that's not for me to... Well, I guess Kai just
shared
his.
I just shared mine.
I don't know. That's for you guys to tell me.
The only tell that I can get from George usually is if he's really quiet and I can't find him. That's right. It's like he disappeared somewhere.
I don't know Morgs either, actually.
I'm trying to think of mine. I don't think I have one.
I don't think you have one, Morgs, because I've been training with you for a long time. But I do know when you're hurting. Because I can tell when you're hurting. But it's more just like a presence, I guess.
Maybe Morg also gets quiet.
I know when Kleckers...
Maybe Morgs talks.
Do you know what Kleckers tell?
When he starts looking around more?
Yeah.
When he goes like head down?
Yeah.
Yeah. He does that. Or he's looking at his watch a lot.
He looks at his watch a lot. That was the one I was going to say.
That's a good one, actually.
He looks at his watch a lot. Yared is the, whoo.
But see the thing, Yared does that. I feel like maybe that's his tell, but that's also when he accidentally runs like 5 seconds too fast. Yeah.
That's also when he feels good and he goes too fast.
Yeah. Mario's one is when his form breaks. I think you can tell when because Mario's last, form like, is like 50 he's very very like adamant about like looking after his form, because you know he's a good looking guy. And then when he starts to break, you can tell it's like it's getting hard. I think for me it's my head wobble. I want my head wobbles when I get tired. That's my tell.
See, some people, I'm trying to think of your tells, and some people are really good at pushing themselves to the limit without any tells. And I feel like by the time you've hit your limit, like you sometimes don't really have a tell. I'm just trying to think of I've seen you like looking fine in a workout, but then like after the rep, like you're like dead. Yeah. I'm thinking of one specifically.
Well, that's very, very flattering. But there's a lot of tells out there, but
Ritz always calls Ollie's tell out.
Yeah.
His Henrik hands.
My Henrik hand, yeah.
Wait, what's that?
Although that's only come up since I've been injured.
Oh, that's a new one.
I think it is new.
Yeah, which I think is a very concerning one though, because Dathan reckons that I'm overextending something. So I need to stop doing that.
Stop extending it so much.
Yeah. Don't worry. I'll extend for you whenever you want. So Kai, rank your favorite OAC.
Well, we do actually
I'll go from last to best.
We do have a couple of fan questions.
Oh, great.
Hi, Morgan. Olivia and I have some questions for Kai. So we'll keep sending them in.
Just some fans of the podcast, I think.
We're both dying to know are Kai's Rose, Bud, and Thorn for living in the freshman house. Rose being something he loves, the Bud being something he's looking forward to, and the Thorn being the worst part about living with Olivia and I.
Can we break down that question?
There's no wrong answers.
Because I have not heard that until she. I've heard her say that once before, but
I never knew about the Rosebud
and Thorn. It's like a icebreaker thing. I feel like it was heavy over Zoom when it's like that first class, and you're like, "What's a rosebud and thorn about your day?"
It's like highs and lows.
What do they mean exactly?
The rose is like the best thing. The thorn is obviously the worst thing, and then the bud's something that's like gonna become something great.
What if you enjoy pain?
Yeah, exactly. Nice. Maybe. But
what do we got?
I'll go. The rose is the basement. I've managed to commandeer the whole basement. I've got a
no
massive wardrobe, which they were trying to force me into that room, but I've managed to take like the whole little lounge setup and put a couch in there, put my bed in there. I've got the projector screen up looking at the wall, so and watch a movie or play Xbox or Switch from bed.
So Kai just doesn't sleep in the bedroom of the basement. If anyone can imagine a basement, you just walk down and there's a room, and then Kai's bed is just in the middle of the room.
It's all Kai's domain.
Exactly.
And then
man cave.
The bedroom is the closet. Yeah. Hence why we were saying it's such a big...
That's fucking awesome.
He needs a closet to be that big for all his trophies.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not his clothes. It's not his clothes.
Full of trophies.
Full of NCAA trophies.
All right, so Rose is claiming the whole basement to yourself. Yep.
A thorn, I'm just going to throw under the bus here. Our cooking has been great. We rotate cooking every night, and we were having this conversation the other day. We're like, we should make like a tier list, like whose meal's been the best, and continually rank them. And the day after we do that, Maya unfortunately delivers one of the lower meals. It was a gnocchi that was done on a sheet pan, and she took it out at the perfect time and thought, I think this is a little undercooked. And so she put it in for a couple more minutes and definitely
overcooked them. She claimed that she forgot about it.
Oh, that I don't think that happened.
No, maybe that was just a...
Maybe that was a cop-out answer. Sure. She forgot about them. Yeah, my bad.
So Maya's cooking is the thorn.
So that specific meal, yeah. Like, she's done great before. I'll give her that, but...
She slipped unfortunately, up and
unfortunately,
now she's a thorn.
Yeah, she's going to be known as that person now.
She's got to put some work into.
Yeah, so I've made sure to reset our standards with my cooking tonight.
Well, yeah, someone has to set the
exactly
floor, you know?
Like Olivia set the bar pretty high. I'll say that she's delivered some great meals.
What's on the menu tonight?
The menu is a beef curry. So I basically put it all in the pot, gave them some instructions to stir it while I'm here recording the podcast, and as soon as I get home, just make some rice and it'll be ready.
Amazing.
Easy. We did a cooking rotation for a brief time at Mount Sherman.
It's the way to do it if you're on the same schedule with a few people.
I think for the three of us, it got increasingly more intricate.
Yeah.
I think we tried to do more intricate meals. Because I think we felt like we wanted to do like different stuff.
Yeah. We set the bar pretty high.
I think we did.
Between us.
Helped me from like stopping the DoorDash, because the funniest thing was I was in that rotation with them, and then Carlos was just DoorDashing every night because he's like, well, I'm not fucking cooking with you guys, so I'm just going to make, you know, DoorDash a curry. I'm going to sweat my bollocks off and then play some Call of Duty. Yeah. It's a good fun. I think three is a good number for sure.
And so, finally, the bud.
The bud.
Oh, yeah, we haven't done the bud.
I feel like we play a lot of... like little games here and there. So we've been playing a lot of Dutch Blitz. I introduced that to them, and so far they're addicted.
What the hell is that?
It's a card game. It's pretty similar to like Speed.
It's really intense.
It's like a solitaire, but it's competitive. And so we've been playing that a lot, and we played a very similar game on the Stanford team, and it was very competitive. So we had to stop after a certain bit because it just got too intense. And
that's going
to
happen. If you play enough games, that will eventually be the result.
That happened with Catan.
Do you have a pack of cards each?
Yeah, so they're like special cards and they've each got a different back.
Huh.
And you're all playing like in the middle.
It's one of those games where it's like you're all playing simultaneously, but it's like a race. It's pretty intense.
It's very fast and intense.
It's pretty intense.
Do you know if it's also called Racing Demons?
I don't know.
Really similar.
It's very similar to a game called Nerds as well. So
I wonder if you
played any of that. Then yeah, but I feel like my
bud. I didn't have a lot of friends in college. I don't think I played. I mean, Euchre was a big thing for us. We played a lot.
Yeah, we played a lot of Euchre and Catan.
Catan. I think we had one of the strongest arguments I've ever had in a game, and we never played since until maybe we played like one or two times in Boulder. But in Wisco, we played like nearly every day, like multiple games.
Then it got ended. Yeah.
Then it got ended. But yes. That sounds intense.
can't wait to do that just about every day.
And sounds fun until you can't anymore.
Yeah, until they finally get a win.
Amazing. I think we actually have a couple more questions from these fans. Let's see what else they got for us.
Who is your favorite person on the OAC team?
Wow, my favorite person on the OAC team. I think it's a top two, and they just actually walked in the room. And so it's basically like picking between who do you love more, your mum or your dad. And obviously that's pretty tough, but feel like Cinta really took me under her wing in St. Moritz and made me feel part of the team. So I'm going to go with her.
She's
shy. Yeah, that's going to be my answer.
She's off camera right now. She doesn't want to come on.
She actually has a gun pointed to Kai's head. So just fair warning, like, Kai knows how to play.
Yep.
Well done, Cinta. Well
it's
done.
Not my first hostage situation.
yeah. Final question from your biggest fans or our biggest fans, however you want to categorize.
And lastly, Kai, what's your favorite piece of gear from the newest shipment?
My favorite piece of gear from the newest shipment. I'm actually still waiting for that. It's been lost
hashtag
in
on ad.
Lost in shipping. Everyone seems to have got theirs and mine's still waiting.
That's
so
actually how they let you know that you got deleted from the
yeah,
team.
I guess as soon as my ID stops working for the gym or something, the gym. then I'll really know. But I mean, I really like the Echo Boom 4s.
Yeah.
Like I think they're a huge step up. I already love the 3s and it's an even bigger jump and
do like the 4s.
Working out in them, it's pretty nice. Like you just feel great.
You feel good.
Yeah.
Feels good to
get,
feel good.
Get to one step instead of half step more.
Yeah, almost like two steps. Like yeah. That goes for, that goes like that.
We also do have some great questions from the Discord. We've kind of answered most of them, but there's a couple that we haven't answered. And one of them coming in from Coffee Cafe 29 is, which young brother does he like more?
Oh,
great question.
Great question.
And can you tell them apart?
Yeah, they're pretty easy to tell apart. I mean, I'm pretty good at telling apart twins as it is.
Didn't they have different haircuts anyway?
Yeah. That like one's a little taller. They have different haircuts. There's obviously the personality differences.
It's almost like you knew them.
Yeah,
it's almost
exactly.
Like you're mates with them or something.
I'm going to apologize to Nico. Unfortunately, he's not making the top two. That's just how it is when you have teammates.
Yeah, but he went to NAU, so understandable.
Yeah, exactly. And when you're racing against him, you can't. No, that's impossible. They both have their moments, and it depends what mood I'm in. There's sometimes when I prefer Leo to be there, and sometimes when I prefer Lex to be there, but it's about as even as it can get, so love them both to death.
Very, very diplomatic answer.
Yeah. Were you in Dutch class with both of them?
I was, yeah. That was a lot of fun.
And some people, it's very niche, but might know about that because did they not upload the video to their own like actual YouTube channel?
Yeah, our final project with this group project that we had to upload to YouTube. And
they uploaded on their actual channel.
We said to our professor, we're like, hey, Esme, can we upload this to YouTube? And if we get 10,000 views, can we all get an A+? And she was like, oh yeah, sure. Cause
she didn't know who she was messing with.
all the other ones had got like 40 views from like years
right
in past.
There.
And I think she realized how many views these twins get when we uploaded it. And
how many views
seemed
did
to love
get?
It.
How many views did he get?
I'd say probably 15K. I don't know.
I'm not too sure
about
of the 10K.
Pretty good for a Dutch final.
So it was a lot of fun. Like that was probably my favorite class at Stanford because there was 11 kids in the class and 9 of us were on the track team.
Oh, that's,
so
that's pretty sweet, actually.
We kind of ran the class. We got to learn a language
learn
and
together.
At practice we can just speak behind people's backs and have a bit of fun. They probably got sick of us, but
I want to do that with sign language. Mm. I want us all to get fluent in sign language and Dathan not know. So then we're just communicating without Dathan knowing. And he's just like, what the hell's going on?
He would absolutely hate that.
Stop moving your fingers, Yard.
It's great too because you can do it on a run.
Yeah,
and you don't have to waste any
talk.
Breath.
You just
like,
have
just
to talk. Like just do.
Throwing up, throwing
like,
up
you know, in
signs.
Dune when they're actually like talking in another way. That, I feel like that'd be so cool to do that, and people don't know what you're talking about except for like us on the team.
We could use it in races even.
Yeah,
it's like we're making a move now.
Yeah, or like or, wow, you look terrible. I'm gonna go. Or Jordy coming past and a kick, just going.
I'm
laters.
Kicking now.
Yeah, laters.
Yeah. Okay, let's do it. Is it hard? I imagine it's very hard.
I've been trying to learn it with my girlfriend. And it's really, really hard. Because I want to like teach her how to do it. Because then like we can communicate without people knowing.
You've been learning the American
But I'm actually
going
to just do it with her brother instead. And that'd be funner.
Like American Sign Language or the Australian?
American. Okay. Just because I think the American one is just, I think.
It's probably more
practical.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to do it. I was talking about doing it. And then now I'm like going to do lessons. Because you do the alphabet and then you from there you like do other stuff. Yeah.
Get a little side hustle at concerts when you can be the guy at the front.
Oh yeah.
Doing that too.
I could just lie about that and just get free concerts.
Yeah, how good.
Yeah.
You could translate the entire podcast.
Mm.
You could be doing it live right now.
I know, I could be.
That'd be so inclusive
of us. A lot of the transfers would just be a lot of this and a lot of this.
Yeah.
And a lot of this.
Mm.
Which is pretty much our whole podcast, really.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
Well, guys, it's been absolutely amazing having you on today. Is there anything else that you would like to share with the audience before we let you go?
I don't think so.
No?
No. No. I think that's enough. If they have any more questions, get me back on.
Yeah. We'll obviously have you back on, but...
Mm. We'll see.
You'll say that, we'll and then you won't. Yeah.
I think it'd be way funnier if we just go...
This episode actually just doesn't even come out.
I'm just going to show up every Monday or Tuesday or whatever day I hear you guys are recording.
So, guys, are we recording today? What's up?
Keep knocking on the door until you let me in.
Sounds amazing. We look forward to it. Well, Kai, it has been amazing having you on, and you are an amazing addition to our team as well. Awesome to have you as a teammate and a training partner. Once again, thank you very much for joining us today, and thank you very much, everyone, for listening. This has been episode 158 of the podcast, and we'll see you guys all again next week. Bye.